All right.
Hello.
It's 1 minute and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733. I love us alive today. Hold on. 503-7... Let me just say this. You know a thing that's universally disgusting that a lot of people think about but they don't mention?
Saliva.
Well, it is. It is saliva-related. Yes. It is. It is salivic in nature. Eat that. Eat. Am I the only one that thinks about people who play wind instruments or brass instruments and you wonder where the spit goes to? I don't think I am.
I used to play one of those instruments, and I know where it goes.
Where does it... Don't tell me yet. Make me wait.
I used to be a trumpet player.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Can you still play? If I were to bring in a trumpet now, could you play it?
No, I hate the trumpet.
Well, I'm not asking whether you'd enjoy it. Enjoyment didn't... Your relative state of happiness didn't enter into the question. I was simply saying, I think the Rick Emerson audience would enjoy hearing you play that. If I were to have a trumpet...
I lost my lip. I can't do it.
It's right there.
No. If you're a trumpet player, you build up the lip. And once you lose the lip, you can't play the trumpet. Ask any trumpet player. He'll tell you the same. Or she. There are girl trumpet players now, too.
Yes, there are, Tim Riley. Yes, there are. Anywho. What?
Oh, well, you were asking me about the spit button.
Yes. But now I'm just all distracted by the idea of you playing the trumpet. What was your... Did you have a warm-up tune? Like, did you have a... Because guitar players all have a song. Maybe a song they never play live. Maybe a song that's nothing like it, the rest of their repertoire. But every guitar... And you know this is true if you're a musician. Every guitarist has a song that he plays to warm up with. Did you have a warm-up song when you were playing the trumpet, Tim Riley?
The Marines hymn.
What is the Marie? Is that the Halt of Montezuma?
That's not that easy.
Was this like a high school thing or like a prep school thing?
Prep school, early prep school.
Did you choose the trumpet or was the trumpet thrust upon you?
The trumpet was thrust upon me by my family. My dad used to play in band.
Did you play your father's trumpet? Was it handed down to you, Christopher Walken, in a watch style?
It was.
And I handed it back.
No.
In a few months. With a note. No, thanks. Pass. All right. Was he disappointed? Was there a solemn ceremony, though, where, like, he took the trumpet out of a mahogany box laden with velvet?
Well, no, he always plays during holidays.
Really?
Along with my aunt, who was in the Women's Army Corps, who also played the trumpet.
It's fantastic.
Huh?
During the holidays, did they just sit in the living room and play...
They would dress up in their old uniforms.
Uh-huh.
And play band instruments.
That's fantastic.
And marching tunes.
And then he said, and now, little man... I hand the trumpet to you. And then you went along gamely for, a month, 2 months, and then you were just, screw this, and you just gave it back?
What happened was, the trumpet teacher was an old friend of my father's.
The trumpeteer.
Who played with him in various bands. And he said, aha, I bet you'd be as good as your father.
Never true.
And he made a little phone call, to which others agreed. They were all so wrong.
You were never consulted on this, were you?
No, I was not.
They just decided that you were going to carry on the trumpeteering in the family.
Yes.
And now, Tim, you will carry this mantle forward into the next generation, for you have been given the lip. All right, so there you go. Is building, getting the lip like you're a guitar player, you get a callus or something?
Well, the lip is a good thing because if you're playing the trumpet, you have to play for a long period of time and you would wear out your lip if your lip does not harden. So playing the trumpet, take one of the greatest trumpeters in the world, pick one.
Louis Armstrong.
Yes, he had a lip.
Okay. Am I the only way? Okay, first of all,
nobody cares about this conversation.
It's fascinating.
Well, we're talking about spit.
Because it contains phrases like wearing out your lip, your lip gets hard. And then, before we get to the spit thing, am I the only one, though, that when I think about it, playing some sort of a brass instrument, that I get this weird, reaction in my mouth where my mouth gets this weird, tingly, sort of acrid taste in it? Am I the only one that feels that way?
That's because you haven't built up the lip.
I haven't because I don't have the lip. There you go. And we'll just bring the curtain down on it right there. My question is, where does the spit go?
Okay, on the side of the trumpet, there is a little thing that you push. It's a spit drain.
Oh, why do I want to know these things? Why?
The next time you see a trumpet, you'll find it. It might be on the left-hand side or the right-hand side.
So where do you drain the spit? Do you just, if you're marching along,
right,
can you
suppose over a sink or a sewer?
I'm just, but I'm saying this.
On
what
stage?
If,
no, you wouldn't do
what
it.
What if you're in some kind of a... Why do I always want to know these things?
Well, as a young boy, I didn't have that much spit.
You didn't acquire your spit until later in life.
That's correct.
At the same time, you acquired your whatever and vinegar. But if you're in a parade, let's say, if you're marching, you know, whatever, you're in the Irish parade and you're marching along and you got to go 16 blocks, you got to march for an hour and a half and play Danny Boy 100 times. How long does it take? Well,
I never went that far.
Do you drain the spit valve? Just once a session, or like how long?
I would do it once a session.
Like if you started playing it like at noon, like if Sarah is putting her fingers in her ears. This is an interesting conversation, Sarah.
For
the trumpeteers only.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. This is the last question I have about this.
There are no other trumpet players listening.
If you don't know that, this is the Rick Emerson audience. It is an entire pageantry of people out there. It's a whole panoply of people patronizing this program. Let me ask you this, though. If you start playing, like if you were to start playing the trumpet at noon, continuously playing, how long would you have to play before the spit valve was full?
Well, it depends how much spit you have in you.
The average person.
Well, the average person nowadays weighs a lot more than the average person back when I was a child.
If that Ralphie May guy from last Comic Standing was playing. So, but you just like every couple hours?
Yes.
So is there a time? So if a bunch of parade guys are going down the street, it's like a brass parade, and they're marching down the street, and they're playing the Halls of Montezuma over and over again.
And that's when it was made, the start of spit. They would all do it in unison.
Do you sense when your spit thing is full?
No, you don't.
You just need to thing. You just do it every now and again. As you're walking along, you just try to get not to get it on your shoes. Does it drain directly down? Do you have to move your feet so it doesn't land on your shoes?
It would drain directly down, I would imagine.
All right. These are the things I wonder about. These are the things they don't really care. I'm not going to say that they keep me awake at night, but I'm saying these are the things about which I have some curiosity. And we're done. See, it's only 11:07, and we already got the question answered. You take your fingers out of yours now. All right, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Friday. If you'd like to engage with us electronically today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your thoughts on spit valves and so forth, it is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I had some observation I was going to make like an hour ago, and then I got into this whole thing about I have a lot of spit here, and then that took us down an unpleasant side road. But we're back now. Coming up today, political firecracker Bob Costantini will join us from the... You know, I've given up the idea that I'm ever going to be able to make that guy interesting, by the way.
I didn't book Bob Costantini.
I circled Bob Costantini.
Oh, I did say Bob Costantini. Sorry, I'm used to saying Lisa Goddard.
I don't understand. What's happening?
Never mind. No, I did say Bob Costantini. I'm just always used to it being Lisa Goddard.
No, she's gone off somewhere today. She's off picking out a pattern for her wedding, which is September 22nd of this year. To a kite-flying guy. Anywho, I've given up the idea that we're going to make Bob Costantini interesting, by the way. I thought that eventually we'd be able to crack him and that there'd be some sort of chewy nougat-like center of comedy in the middle of Bob Costantini. That's not really the case. So now it's going to be up to me to carry the whole thing. But that's okay. We'll talk to Bob Costantini. Also, Steve Kastenbaum from New York City. We will have speaks with him. He's going to talk about they closed all of those Kentucky Fried Chicken Taco Bell places because they're filled with rats. So, the best part, though, here is that under pressure from their parent company, says the article,
they'll now be moved to the Walter Reed Medical Center.
That's so much funnier than anything I was going to say. I love the idea that there had to be some sort of pressure, though. Like, if you went into if you owned a restaurant and it was just filled with rats, wouldn't you just sort of, like, would you really need to be pressured much wouldn't you just sort of figure out that it was maybe a thing that you ought to, close it and just sort of assess?
They're just passing through.
The rats?
Yeah,
on their way to somewhere better.
Walter Reed.
So we'll talk to him later on. We have those here, don't we? The KFC rats? Taco Bell? Well, and the rats. I don't know that the rats are probably not at the KFC. Because there's that combo KFC Taco Bell, right? Isn't that the thing? Is it 82nd?
I know there are lots of standalone KFCs up in St. John.
They've started to do that thing where those restaurants are packaged together like a big box of nerds.
Yeah, they'll do like Taco Bell and Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Yeah, which is great. So you can just go in and get all your grease at once.
There's a Taco Bell Long John Silver's combination over next to where I live.
I didn't even know that Long John Silver's existed in part of this. I thought that was an East Coast thing, totally. I thought it was an East Coast only thing.
Fishy place.
I thought it was like a Roy Rogers, though. They didn't really have that here.
I think Roy Rogers did fish.
No, this is a conversation no one cares about. That's like me going
to the spit cup.
Whatever happened to Hardee's? What happened to Hardee's?
There's a Sonic next to me, and it's the only one I've ever seen.
My question is, where's the nearest Del Taco? That's really what I want to know the answer to. Del Taco, and not Taco Del Mar.
Right.
Taco Del Mar is also fine. Del Taco, though. Del Taco, they serve this thing called a macho nacho, where it's a pound and a half of nachos, and you eat it, and it literally, you can, in your head, like in one of those old prison movies, you can see the days falling off the calendar that you have left to live. I'd say those macho nachos take like a good 5, 4, 6, 7, 8 days off your life. A full week almost, I would say. In any event, so we'll talk about that. Oh, speaking of pizza, by the way, have you seen that new thing they're going to be marketing? It's a pizza vending machine. Oh, it's going to be the death of me. It's going to be that you go and you put in like $5 and it spits out a pizza. You wait 2 minutes, spits out a cooked pizza.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be dead. I'll be dead, fat, and happy. Like a year after that comes on the market. Anyway, what else do we have coming up today? So Bob Costantini, Steve Kasimov, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio is going to be here to review the new Jake Gyllenhaal, David Fincher film, Zodiac, which I am seeing tomorrow at Cinetopia in Vancouver. You know, how many times do I have to say the phrase Cinetopia before somebody with a tie upstairs goes and shakes some money out of those guys? Cinetopia, so that's where I'm going to go see that movie. I'm going to keep talking about
that
place.
Where is that again?
Cinetopia in Vancouver. I'm going to keep talking about it every week. Somebody will eventually get sick of me talking about it for free, and they'll go get money from them. It is like a little crack. I should just mention it until the theater themselves become aware of it, and then I'll stop. Then we'll start charging. Anyway, so there's a Zodiac playing there. So I'm a huge David Fincher fan, so I'm going to see that. And a fan of serial killing. So I'm going to see that this weekend. What else coming up today? Hey, you got that roaring fire all over my penis. Stop it. What else? Also, hey, don't cut out my tongue. It hurts. And finally, Baptist takes steps to preserve the innocence of young, nubile, succulent children. What else? Well, that's pretty much it. We'll talk to... I'll wait to talk about that. It's
probably,
Yeah,
we should probably wait.
I'll wait on that. Because if I mention it now, the whole thing's just going to get derailed. Even more so. And not about spit. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
I'm good. I ate my... Huh?
What?
Oh, I just ate my leftover Chinese food.
Oh, is that from... that's not from the... That's not NoHo.
It's totally trashy. I got it from Safeway.
Okay. Fantastic. There you go.
I love it, though.
It always looks good, so you have to eat it. I always feel bad. Like, I remember when I... never mind. I want to go on and on about the amount of food that I eat from Safeway. God love Safeway. It's a fine place. But I do so feel bad for immigrants from other countries who maybe come here. They're fleeing political or religious oppression. And then they walk into a mall or something, you know, and they see, you know, Taste of China. And then they walk up and then they order something. And, it's all just basically cardboard with egg dumped into it. And, they shred it and they put it in a box and thrust it over the counter. I feel so bad for people from other cultures who come here trying to find something that approximates the taste of home. Because that never really happens. Like, I used to work when I was...
Well, it doesn't happen for $5 in express special.
At Lloyd Center. You know, like, when I was growing up, I used to work at Taco Time. And every so often, you'd see, like, a Mexican family come. I mean, clearly, a family from Mexico. They had come here seeking the American dream. And instead, they just get these horrible, like... Choco taco things for like $1.19 at the moment. Not that those aren't not part of the American dream, because it is. But all right, hey, you didn't see my wife out last night, did you?
No.
All right.
Why? Where was she?
I don't know. Well, how shall I put this? I'm just saying, I got home last night, and normally she goes to bed earlier than I do because she has to get up. She has to get up.
Except for this morning?
Pretty early. Well, she has to get up pretty early. And she needs a lot more sleep than I do. Like, I have to get up about the same time she does, but I can get by in like 4 hours of sleep if I have to. And then I catch up on the week. I binge and I purge. But normally there's this whole thing where, you know, like, she'll go to bed, and then if I'm at home, I'll kind of, you know, come in and I'll, like, you know, we'll tuck her in and whatever and say, do you need blah, 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 and, you know, do you need the whole bedtime ritual, and then I'll come to bed later. Or if I'm out, as I was on that, I'll just come home and get into bed, and, you know, and I'll come and she'll say, hey, you know, how was work or how was your day, and I'll say, fine, and then we'll talk for a while, and then she'll fall back asleep. But I came home last night, and I spent about the first 5 or 6 minutes I was in bed last night thinking that she was, like, really pissed at me for some reason. Because I get in bed, I'm like, hi, and she's all... How was your day, sweetie? And then she just turns away from me, and I'm thinking, okay, what have I done? What did I spill? What did I scratch? What important date or anniversary did I forget? And I tried like 3 or 4 more times to go like, so, how are things? And then she's just like, nah, and like turns away, and I was just like, oh, okay, well, F it. Whatever I did is clearly too serious to be solved right now, so I'm going to sleep. So I thought, and then, have you ever done this? Have you ever gone to bed with somebody? And when I mean gone to bed, I mean literally just go to sleep. You get into bed, and you're sleeping with someone, and either correctly or incorrectly, you think that they are angry at you, and then do you find that you're sort of like, you're kind of on eggshells as you sleep throughout the night? Because, like, you don't want to, like... Like, if the cup, like, you could, like, at last night, the covers, she sort of is wrapping herself slowly in the covers like a burrito, and the covers are getting pulled off of me, like you're rolling a paper towel roll back up. And I didn't want to be too aggressive with, like, pulling the covers back, because I'm still thinking she's pissed at me for something. And I don't want to, like, pull the blanket back.
Sounds like a communication problem.
No, because she's asleep, and she's clearly not even sitting talking to me.
Why are you trying to talk to her if she's asleep?
Because that's what we do. I go to bed, and we say hello, and we talk about the day, and then she falls back asleep. But she was, like, so... I'm, like, thinking she's so angry she won't even speak to me. And so as the night goes on, the covers are slowly getting pulled off of me, but I'm afraid to pull the covers off of her for fear that it will wake her up and then trigger whatever rant, you know, whatever lecture from her I'm sure is coming. Like, I don't want to pull the electric blanket off and I need the electric blanket. Why did you overdraw the checking account? You know, so I just sat there and, like, shivered all night and slept badly because I was so afraid to wake her up. And then so we get up this morning around the same time and I say, hi, how are you? And she goes, what time did you come home? And I said, oh, you know, I got home pretty late. I was, Chris and I were doing a thing. And she goes, oh. And I said, how are you? And she goes, I'm still so drunk. So apparently she was just wasted. Apparently I got home. That's why she was actually so drunk. She didn't remember me coming into bed last night. She didn't remember me saying hello to her. Didn't remember me attempting to wake her up like 4 times to talk to her. Didn't remember me trying to pull the blankets off. Didn't remember Max jumping up and down all over the bed this morning. And actually, and I'm sure her governmental employers will be happy to hear this, was actually still drunk when I took her to work this morning.
Oh my God.
Was actually still intoxicated as I was taking her to work. So, and I said, so where were you last night? She's like, we went somewhere, and then I don't know after that. And then I was home somehow.
Oh, my God.
She has no idea. Don't know where she went. Like, the first 30% of the evening was fine to her, and then, like the Golden Gate Bridge vanishing into a fog, the rest of last night is just a haze to her, and I'm pretty sure she doesn't remember how she got home or who brought her home. So...
Poor girl.
So it was a great night and a great morning.
And today she's out working in the medical field.
Seriously. So, yeah, it's a great day to be one of her patients. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Hey, Vernonia mailman is arrested for delivering pot. A man is shot in the groin at a Southeast strip club.
Bam.
Barack Obama's family owns slaves, claims the Baltimore newspaper.
Dun, 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 dun.
Angelina Jolie will add a Vietnamese baby to her gaggle of unfortunate third world children. And Anna Nicole Smith's funeral, just about over.
We should have gone. We should have tried to go. We should have tried to do some sort of a broadcast. We should have held a sympathy funeral, like a proxy funeral here. We should have held...
For
like
all
a,
of us who couldn't make it to the Bahamas.
We totally should have... Damn it, why do we always think of these things too late? We should have totally held a sympathy funeral here for Anna Nicole Smith. Well, whatever.
Next time.
And I was going to say, the next when Britney dies, we'll do it then. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. But, pardon me? By the way, we'd like to throw a little shout-out to Mark. Mark, who drives the number... I hope we're not getting him in trouble. Who drives the number 14 bus.
I met him yesterday on the bus.
I was taking Sarah Dillon home yesterday, and you were getting off the bus. He was like, love the show! Which is always weird.
Well, because I thought he was mad at me because I didn't pull the cord quick enough, and so he had to, like, zip over to go over to the stop, and so I was apologizing to him. He's like, hey, I like your show. See, I'm another bus driver who listens. It was really cool.
But see, my question is just like yours. We were talking about how do bus drivers listen
Seriously?
To the program?
I have no idea. He didn't have headphones on. He has to pay attention. I don't know how they listen.
Is it a secret radio? Is it like is it a radio or headphones that are secreted away inside their ears somehow?
Well, there are secret radio stations in between the real ones. I
you
think.
Can hear Tom Likas's chair.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that too. I wonder because we get a lot of bus drivers, and not a lot of bus, just a lot of, like I get school bus drivers who say that they listen to us, especially when we were on Max, we were doing the early morning thing, and they'd be like, well, I do the late, you know, I do like the first half of a kindergarten two shift or whatever, and they're like, I listen to you on the bus, and I don't know how that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That Mike guy who calls us on TriMet, you know, from TriMet, he listens, and I know for a fact he listens while he's working.
Yeah, I've never seen any of them have any radios.
I don't know how that works. I'm curious because there's probably a whole... See, it's the thing that I don't even really know that we can talk about because I don't know the way that we're going to get everybody in trouble here, but it does seem like there's probably a whole gaggle of people out there who, to use Tim Riley's word, who listen to us sort of on the down low.
Oh, yeah, the secret listeners.
They'd probably have to email us. They almost couldn't call us.
Yeah, because a lot of people are stuck working in cubicles and whatnot. I don't know how half of my friends, you know, are able to listen to the show.
I don't know. It is something I wonder about. All right, it's fine. Maybe we'll find out. Sarah and I discovered, I showed her the most dangerous thing this morning, which is this website, which I will not mention because you don't want to know about it. It's going to consume all of your life, too. It's a website that lets you see how often you are discussed on the blogs of other people, which I guess is probably more pertinent or relevant to people who maybe work in sort of the public eye. If you do a thing that is sort of in the entertainment industry, maybe that's more pertinent to you. If you're just some guy, I don't know how often you'd really use that, but it's a website that lets you see how often you're discussed on other people's blogs, and it's dangerous, man, because it's so much more addictive than Googling yourself, because it's not just seeing where you're mentioned, it's seeing where people actually talk about you.
Yeah, where you, like, fit into a sentence. Oh.
It's just the most dangerous thing in the history of the world, so we will not... So that's how we spent about 40 minutes this morning. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, you were looking for a Del Taco?
Yes, I am.
There's one over on the east coasty side on Burnside, kind of on the edge of town.
Northeast Burnside, the edge of town. I like where this is going. So Northeast Burnside and what?
I can't remember. It's right across from a G.I. Joe's and some other sporting store. Right out near one of the video game exchanges.
On McLaughlin Boulevard?
Yeah, I think
it's
out there, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, I know exactly. Really, there's a Del Taco, that's fantastic. You know what, yes. I used to be able to eat 10 of their tacos at a sitting. Boy, that's some good eating is what that is.
Okay, then.
Thank you. Thanks. Clearly isn't impressed. Man, when I lived at the House of Dudes in Salt Lake, that was what we would do on Fridays because we were lame. We would go to Del Taco. This is what, you know, because there are no girls anywhere interested in spending time with us. So we would all just go to Del Taco, and we'd each order 10 tacos. So there's like 5 guys, and we'd go in, and we would order 50 tacos, and then we would just go home and watch SportsCenter while we each ate 10 tacos in front of the television. This is Mike from TriMet, who I believe may be solving the question of how he listens to us. Let's do that, and then we probably got a break. We got to come back with Bob Costantini. Let's see. And then we've got a, let's see. Well, let's do this first. Mike, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi. So now, do you, Mike from TriMet, how is it that you listen to this program while you're on the bus?
Believe it or not, and I know this is going to be hard to digest about government employees, but not everybody follows the rules exactly as they're written. We're not supposed to technically listen to the radio.
When you say technically, that just means you're not supposed to.
Yeah, after the third violation, you get fired. But it is sometimes the threat of being unemployed just has to be overcome by the desire to shut the world out.
Okay, so,
that's what it is.
But I mean, so you're on TriMet and you're listening now. Is that, do you use headphones or do you use a small portable radio or?
Well, I wouldn't know myself because I've never violated the
rules. Of course.
But I have heard other drivers, they'll get a very small radio and run the earphone up their sleeve of their shirt and up their back so prying eyes wouldn't necessarily see it, and then they wear it in their ear.
That's pretty great. I mean, really, the lengths that people will go to, that is pretty impressive. Well, let me just tell you, here's a little secret, since we're trading secrets. Here's a little secret that I, and I don't care who knows this. I've often talked about how when I fly on planes, I deliberately leave my cell phone on, just as an act of silent defiance. I leave my cell phone on, and if possible, now that I've got a smartphone, I leave it on, and I try to be downloading a file of some kind while the plane is taking off.
But I would like to state categorically that I would never violate the rules in that manner.
Well, I would.
And I'm a good TriMet employee.
And so here's the other thing that I do, though. The other thing is, because they'll come through and they go, if you have, okay, even talking about it makes me angry, that whole, and if you have any portable electronic devices, we'd like to remind you that those need to be turned off and stowed safely before flight. We will tell you when you can take those back out, because we're small people with tiny amounts of power who like to control the lives of others. And so what I do, though, I've done this thing where I will take my MP3 player, I will tuck it inside the pocket of my coat, and then, just as you said, I will take one of my little earbud things out, and I'll stow it away, and I'll run the other one up inside my coat, and then I'll tuck it like sort of behind my ear, and then I'll just pretend that I'm asleep leaning against the window.
Well, one of the problems is, you know, no one would really care, but you always have that group of people that will carry it beyond what it needs to be carried. And they'll bring boom boxes, they'll bring headphones. One guy brought a TV, you know.
That's fantastic.
So if you just be smart and not do things like that, they wouldn't notice or care.
Yeah, that's
but
not
it's
happen.
Always it's always the guy that has to one up somebody else and show his total defiance for the rules.
You are the angriest bus driver ever.
No, I'm really not. I really love my job.
Okay. There you go. That's Mike. Mike with Tremor. Thank you, sir. All right.
Didn't we also discuss last time Mike called that we really have no way of proving he is a bus driver?
He could be making all of this up. We have no idea. Could be fabricating every little bit of this. All right. 503-733-2970. Oh, I don't have time to get to this. I know it's time to get to this great thing that happened in the kitchen this morning. We'll talk about that. Well, we'll talk about that later. We'll come back. Bob Costantini around the corner later on the noon news hour. We'll also talk to Steve Kastenbaum, Scott Daly, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I'm not going to do that.
I know you.
No, I'm going to be perfectly nice.
It's what you think. I finally found my glasses.
I was just going to say, you know, you ought to wear those more often. Now, do you have the whole girl thing if you don't think you look good in glasses? You look fine in glasses.
No, I think they're okay.
I understand your desire to have a variety of looks. So if someone
being a young girl. And
I'm just saying, I'm having ovaries.
No, I kept, because I have so many sunglasses, they kind of got lost in the shuffle of my sunglasses.
I got these bitchin' sunglasses that you can wear over your glasses. They're fantastic.
Oh, I've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Pick them out.
My biking sunglasses.
Those are the worst things I've ever seen.
The huge Terminator X, like Yoko Ono glasses. They really are genius. They're great. Because I got these big glasses that I've been wearing since I was 5. I'm too lazy to wear contacts, and they make me tired. I don't know if anybody else gets this, but contact lenses make my eyes kind of tired. They fatigue me. And so I never remember to clean them. And then I know I'm going to get some big tumor on the front of my eye one of these days. I'm just like, screw it. So I just wear glasses. But then, you know, it's bright outside because there's that thing, the sun. And so then I go to the optometry place, and they sell these things clearly for guys like me. They're like sunglasses that can be worn. And they're not clip-ons. They're not like Dwayne Wayne's. They are full-on standalone sunglasses, but they stick out like 4 inches in front of your face.
You look like a crazy blind man.
I totally look like Ray Charles, except for, you know. And then, but they're huge. They're like these massive Terminator X glasses that I look like I got to be, anyway. So, I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to Bob Costantini here just like 4 seconds. And then after that we have other things. I'll just say right now. Well, I won't say right now. I will say now that the inevitable happened, and Tim's not in the room, but Tim actually pointed out. He goes, "Well, it was only a matter of time, wasn't it?" Tim pointed out that this was inevitable, but Scotty called me this morning, explaining to me that he thinks he needs a weekend program.
Oh God! Really?
Yes. Yes, he did. This morning, Scotty. So, I think that this station could really use a weekend program done by someone like me.
Like him?
He says, like him. And then I kind of looked at him and he goes, you know, me. So what, not really like him, but actually by him.
So we're going to have a suburban perspective on who Scotty J is and what kind of show he wants to do?
Yes, yes.
What?
All right.
I want to hear this.
503-733-2970. He's genius. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Washington, D.C., make way for Bob Costantini.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
Bob can't hear the music, but we're playing music. But
can you not? Are you not able to hear the music?
I do not hear the music, but I know that you've always done right by me.
It bounces back if I put it on the telephone.
Oh, I said that. Yeah. Slap back. Have you heard the theme that we use? I mean, it's fan from the common band, but have you heard the actual edit that we use? And I think we have an explosion at the end of it. I think it kind of ends
with
the whole...
I can play it just as long as it might deafen him a little.
All right, hold on a second.
All right.
I guess I didn't put the explosion on the end. I thought about entering it with a huge thundering nuclear blast of some kind.
That's okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's much too kind for me.
I want to hug him.
Okay. Well, you all can do that later. Hey, let me ask you this. Exactly how many rats do you think had to start running around the corridors of the Walter Reed Medical Center there, the Army Medical Center, which is up until recently was viewed as being the premier Army. It was one of the premier military medical facilities, was it not? It was considered the gold standard.
Well, the medical center itself is not what pretty much is at issue here, because that's where a lot of the initial treatment of the most severely wounded from Iraq occurs. What really this is all about is some of the housing that is actually across one of the main streets. It's an old hotel. And there were outpatient facilities there. There was also, you know, places where outpatients could stay pending their discharges. And there were, you know, not only there were rodents, there were bugs, there was molds, there were peeling paints, poor ventilation systems, that kind of thing. And, you know, finally the Army, after this expose by the Washington Post, the Army relieved Major General George Waitman of his command there in that the complex there.
I think I speak for everybody when I say, like, what the hell? Like, how is it that it was allowed? I mean, didn't anybody ever say anything about it? I mean, it's not like it's a palace one day and then it's a tenement the next. How is it that it was allowed to get to that point? And were my tax dollars paying for this?
Well, yeah, of course your tax dollars were paying for it, apparently not enough of the tax dollars were going into it. But clearly there were people who knew about these conditions, and eventually some of their complaints got to the ears of the Washington Post reporters. But also, I just noticed today a reporter from Slate magazine, the online magazine, says that he's the one who actually brought this up earlier, and he's trying to get the Washington Post to give him some credit for it. But, you know, when you have your Army commanders say they didn't know the conditions were this bad there, then someone, and Secretary Gates has been very forceful about this. When this was first revealed, he said, you know, there are people who are going to be relieved of their duty over this. And the commanding general at the overall Walter Reed Army Medical Center was the one removed yesterday.
Is it true that their big immediate solution to this is to just forbid any soldiers who are staying there from speaking to the press?
That is correct.
That's helpful. Thanks.
They're looking for ways to keep the press away from this complex, which, as I say, is actually largely accessible to people and to the public, because it is not within the fenced area of the Walter Reed Army Complex.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I have a question. There used to be a magazine called, and it may still in fact exist. It was owned actually by Playboy Enterprises, but it was a magazine called Games, and it was just what it sounded like. It was a whole magazine full of very, very complex sort of brain teasers, mind puzzles, you know, really, really insane crosswords, things like that.
Okay.
And Games magazine had this great ongoing feature where every issue, one of the ads was fake. Every month you would buy Games magazine, and there were, you know, there were all the regular ads for whatever, like there are in every magazine. But in every issue, one of the magazine ads was completely fictitious for a completely fictitious product. And it was just to see if you could spot it. It was a little extra puzzle. I believe that Dick Cheney does the same thing with his public pronouncements. I believe that every now and again, he just says something that is completely in whole cloth, just fictitious and insane, just as like a little game with himself to see if people spot it. Like this, where he says that he's urging Congress to support President Bush's plans for Iraq, and added that any pullout of troops in Iraq would be bad for Afghanistan. And then he just sort of said it, and then I think he vanished in a puff of sulfuric smoke. I mean, that's, why would he say this, and does anybody believe it?
Well, his attempt to, in a lot of ways, it's an attempt, of course, to once again link September 11th, which we know was in a way planned out of the Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan, linking September 11th to the Iraq War. And his point this time around is that if we allow Iraq to just slip into total chaos, then the terrorists who are reconstituting themselves largely in along the Pakistani-Afghan border, they will be emboldened by this, and the Vice President specifically has talked about the possibility of another attack on the United States being planned and plotted out of these reconstituted camps. And the United States has made no secret about the fact that U.S. forces are going to have to, you know, launch a counteroffensive to what they expect will be a spring offensive by the Taliban.
It doesn't really seem like they're going to be emboldened by us doing anything in Iraq. They're emboldened by the fact that they're a bunch of religious crazies. I mean, that's really it. I mean, they're just emboldened by the fact that they're nutcases. I mean,
yeah, you have a point there in a sense, but they will, the beliefs, you know, I mean, the Vice President has not wavered in a lot of ways from this, even as the president may have wavered slightly, but the vice president continues to want to make Americans believe that winning in Iraq is vital to, in a sense, overcoming what happened to us on September the 11th.
All right. Well, what can you do? All right, Bob, my friend, enjoy. Have you seen the movie The Good Shepherd?
I know.
You got to do that. You got to. Matt Damon. He is the star of this film. Robert De Niro, who directed it, has a small role. I really cannot urge you strongly enough to see the movie The Good Shepherd. I'm telling that to all of the CNN folk. You really ought to take it. Treat yourself. Go see it, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. We will speak to you soon.
You
ladies and gentlemen, from Washington, D.C., Bob Costantini. I don't think he likes me.
That's okay.
All right, I'm past it. I'm past wanting to be liked. Rick Emerson doesn't need Bob Costas.
I really do want to give him a hug.
He just seems so unsure sometimes. He's sort of like a puppy that cringes every time you go to feed it.
I know, and it's like he's the bad guy in this situation. Rick, you're the bad guy in this situation.
Okay. 503-733-2970. I'd like to point out, by the way, that during the last commercial break, Sarah Dillon it was like, I have to leave. I have to go put lotion on my hair.
When I had my hair done, there was a bleaching in it, and some of my hair is breaking.
What you actually said is, my hair is just breaking off, which is great.
No, just a couple of them.
Because when you say my hair is breaking off, it's like I just picture like a fistful of dry spaghetti.
Because some of the, you know, I've done so much to my hair, and some, like, she bleached it, like, she stripped it, so it's really white.
Why are you putting lotion in it, though? Shouldn't you be using conditioner?
Well, yeah, I should, but I don't have it here.
I don't.
All I have is lotion.
What kind of lotion did you put? He puts the lotion in his hair, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, somebody left some pot of something in the bathroom. It's like some butter balm thing.
Not bag balm.
No.
That's the stuff they put on cow nipples. What is it?
It wasn't the cow nipples.
So it's like hand lotion?
That was some kind of hand lotion.
Your hair has hand lotion in it.
Hey, it's not flying everywhere now.
I suppose. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so we have a little bit of time to talk about this. It's, 11:45 or so? Okay, we got like 10, 12 minutes. No, it's not bag balm, Scott. Yeah, I know, it's for athlete's foot. That's why I was curious about it. If you're putting like some athlete's foot, something laden with toe fungus.
No, it was like some kind of hand lotion stuff.
Okay. I was in the kitchen this morning. So here's the thing. So I walk into the kitchen, and And here's the other thing, is that I should probably just say this, because I don't want to be the guy not saying it. But we are, from this point forward, going to be without the Timnasium on the weekends. Tim Savage, who is an employee of one of our sister stations here. Yeah, Tim Savage, broadcasting from deep within the suck.
No, I'm not the Timnasium.
No, he was not.
You know what I mean?
No, so we...
That was a good show.
No, so we had the... So we, you know, our sister station here, he was an employee of the sister station, and then he did the Timnasium on the weekend here. But as so often happens in radio, he's going to be pursuing future endeavors, blah, 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 blah. As they say, the memo goes out, says, you know, so-and-so is no longer with. So Tim Savage is no longer part of the CBS radio family, as they said.
Mm.
And an unfortunate side effect of that is he's not going to be doing the Timnasium either. So that sucks, but what can he do? You know?
It's his first firing, too.
It is. It's his first firing in 8 years.
Tim, that's a good run.
The great thing is, I told Tim, Tim's like, well, 8 years, that's a good time to be
Tim
fired.
I know, Tim just stopped feeling sorry for him that second.
I know, Tim, it's not that he stopped feeling sorry, but it was just sort of like a, well, it had to happen eventually. Because, you know, it's one day you get fired, you know, every year and a half or something. But, because we told Tim, we're like, you know, Savage isn't here anymore. And Tim's like, well, really, what happened? We said, wow, he's fired the first time in 8 years. And, well, 8 years is a good run, which 8 years is really an exceptional run. Eight years.
Smokey's been, what, on KUPL like 11, 12 years?
13. Rick Taylor over at KUPL has been there for like 17. And then our friend Iris over at Entercom, she's been there for like 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband both. So, well, and whatever, in any event. So Tim Savage no longer with CBS. And so as a result, Timnasium no longer in the weekend. Now, I don't know that it was related to this, although I suspect that it might have been. The news comes out like yesterday about Tim Savage no longer being there. Scotty, today in the kitchen, I'm there filling up my cup of coffee, planning out what I'm going to do with the show. How are we going to entertain the people today? Scotty comes in, and have you ever noticed people, they strike that faux casual tone? So, Rick, I was thinking, and it's totally that whole, I'm going to need you to come in and work Saturday, you know, where they're trying to be really low-key about it, but you can tell that there's something they've been rehearsing in a mirror at home that they're building up to tell you. So it's sort of like when your girlfriend has that talk with you and she kind of goes that, so, hey, how are you? And you go, fine. Good. Hey, so, you know that guy that I told you was just a friend of mine? And you're like, oh, you know, and that's exactly the tone that Scotty had. So Scotty approached me this morning in the kitchen and then said, over the figuratively still steaming body of Tim Savage, said to me, hey, so I think that you really need a weekend show done by somebody like me. And then I just sort of did the slow, like with the steaming cup of coffee in my hand, I sort of turned and I did a slow look at him and I said, what? And he goes, well, you know, done by me. And I said, what? He goes, a weekend show that I would do. And I said, you, Scott, and it's like I was repeating it
Scotty,
back to him.
Scotty, that's just tacky. The body isn't even cold.
How about the Scotty Terrium?
Like, I was like, Scott-nasium.
Scott-nasium.
Scotty sent me the screen. It's too soon. All right, dude, I'm not the one who... All right,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that, Scott!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scott, welcome to the Rick Emerson show. Our good friend, the PA, Scotty J.
He rushed in here.
Yeah, he really did.
Well, he did.
He's trying to show the
time has come.
He's showing confidence.
Get up and go. It's going to land him a weekend show.
So, just a suggestion. As a PA, I knew you were feeling down and out, and I just wanted to, you know, cheer you up, glass half full style, and
so
come in with a new and bright idea to fill your time slot.
So you're what's filling my glass.
No, that's just an
How
idea.
How lucky can I be?
You know, Scotty J,
my cup run
on the air is just an idea.
Uh-huh. So would you like to tell everybody why you suggested that you would be the right person to bring a new exciting weekend program
to
the...
I feel we could bring a little more fair and balance-ness to the AM 970.
Balance-ness?
That's a new word. We make up words on my show, by the way.
Balance-ness.
We'll have a whole dictionary of words that we just totally make up.
Scotty, don't you have any guilt about the fact that, you know, Tim Savage just lost his job yesterday?
Yes, I feel so bad about it that I feel that he would want us to go on in this fashion.
That was too soon. Too soon.
You're a terrible person.
You
feel bad about it. That's the thing.
Awful person.
Too soon.
You know, I wouldn't blame him if he just waits outside for you in the tall grass and kicks you to death.
Well, see,
he could do it, too.
That's also the problem I see with this show.
That guy's got shapely calves. He could kick you to death before you could even, like, get a hand fisted up.
Yeah. So there might be a few people that might not take liking to my show anyways.
Yeah. So
well, here's what kind of people?
Liberalists.
Yeah.
The libs.
So now, so this is what he said to me. So this is Scotty in the kitchen to me. That he says, so I think that, I think I should do a weekend show. And I said, why? And he said, well, you know, to balance some of the other things that this station does. And then you were noting this show in particular. You were to provide balance to this show.
Not to this show.
All right.
Or to the weekend idea is what you're talking about?
What is it that you feel you need to balance out?
Well, we need to balance out the fact that you have Stephanie Miller on in the morning, and she has her view.
Yes.
And then Don and Mike are kind of in the middle. They're kind of more entertainment. They're not really...
So apart from Stephanie Miller, what is it you think you need to balance?
That's it, basically. I need to balance her out.
So really... So you're the answer to that.
Yes, but she's all week, and my deal is it'll only take 2 hours.
So in 2 hours, you can provide all the counterpoint that needs to be.
I hope so.
All right.
No, just an idea. Just throwing stuff out there.
And this is because you believe that there's a perceived liberalism on the part of the station?
Maybe I perceive it. Yes, a little bit.
All right.
Well, from the Miller slant.
I'm curious. How do you define? Just out of curiosity, because this program here, we don't believe ourselves to be liberal any more than we're. How do you define the word liberal?
What beliefs might a liberal have,
Scotty?
A liberal totally hates America, hates the president, hates war. It always has to be in crisis of some type, or their little socialist programs don't work. And that's it.
Hates
it up
war?
Right,
so a liberal is someone who hates war.
Well, just hates the fact that we're a superpower country, and we do need to clean up. We do need to police. That's why we're the greatest country in the world. And other people
because
need,
we love war.
Other people, no, that's not true. Other people need help. And it's our duty to help them.
Whether they want our help or not, you're going to get them up. No, please, don't help me. No,
I don't think a single Iraq citizen said we don't want your help. They don't want the Taliban.
They say it by shooting at us. That's usually what shooting at someone means, is we don't want what you're selling.
This is where my show comes into play, because they're not shooting at us. The Iraq citizens are not shooting at us. It is a huge Disneyland playground right now for terrorists and people coming into the country from Syria, Iran, and all over. It's like, oh my God, let's go to Disneyland. We can shoot at some Americans. They're all congregating in Iraq right now. That's exactly what's going on. It's not the Iraqi citizens that are shooting at us. They want peace and harmony, and so do we.
The Iraqi citizens are throwing flowers.
They are. Actually, there's a lot of people that appreciate what we're doing.
Where would you find these people?
In Iraq. You just have to dig deep for them. You have to look for them.
They're crawling in their basements. Who have you heard that really is impressed with what we're doing? You believe that there are many people who think that
there's a lot of people
we're turning out really well. Who are some of those people?
There's a lot of Republican people like myself that feel that we're doing
well. The war's working out well.
None of us like war, Rick. Let's get that.
I thought you said Republicans like war. I thought you said that a liberal is someone who hates war.
Right.
So, do you like war?
Well, it's just what I'm talking about is just the fact that they hate fighting for a good cause that I believe we're doing. That's what I meant by
hating
war.
What is the cause, and what would be
the cause? Is these people were oppressed by Saddam Hussein, who needed to be taken out, whether he had these weapons or not. Who cares? That's my opinion.
Well, that was the reason for going there.
That's an excellent reason, and we took him out. We did exactly what we needed to do. Now we can't just up and pack our bags and go, all right, we took him out of here. Next terrorist guy come in here and make the same regime. So we're going to help them have a democracy there.
Okay.
And if people like the British and everywhere else want to pull out, that's fine, you know. We'll go at it alone, and it's a shame. Other people in the world should be helping us.
Apart from the issue of Iraq, what other issues do you need to believe you need to provide balance on?
I need to talk about the finer things in life.
Such as,
you know, hopping in your Escalade, driving to the end of your driveway, and picking up your 6 daily newspapers.
It's always funnier when you're not trying to be obnoxious. Are you trying to be obnoxious?
No, this is what the show's about, really, honest to God.
What would you call the show?
I'm thinking Beyond Suburbia. above and beyond.
Okay. Hello.
Just an idea.
Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
It amazes me that someone his age can be so completely stupid.
You know what I mean? Generate calls? This is awesome.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, sir.
About it, you know, it always amazes me that you military experts have never served one day in the military. You have no idea what it's like to pick up a rifle and have somebody shoot at you and have to fire back. But you're always the first ones that want to lead us into battle.
And are you, sir, a military specialist?
I'm a former Marine.
Yeah, why did you ask that question, Scotty? Did you know? Couldn't you tell from the tone of his voice that he is?
No, I thought he might
That's
be.
That's the tone of voice that says, I want to kill you if you cross me.
I wanted him to tell me if he's been in the service or not.
Yes, I was a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps, and I was a recon in the Marine Corps. We're the hardcore. We're the ones that actually go out there and get the job done, while little sissies like you get to sit here and talk.
I think we found a co-host, Scotty.
Yeah, you can be the co-host.
I'd end up beating you to death on the first show.
Okay. Hey, thanks, sir. I appreciate that. There you go. Thank you. That's Steve.
Nice. Thank you, Steve.
This email says, this is from Paul. This is a question for Scotty J. See, this is the sort of thing you'll deal with on the air, Scotty.
Right.
Should you ever get a talk
to
somewhere?
I'm sure there's a lot of haters out there. But what Steve didn't understand there, if I can go back to
what
that real fast.
What Steve understand?
Steve doesn't understand that I don't advocate shooting people or being shot at or all that. I do advocate.
You do advocate that.
What I advocate is that people should not be under a dictatorship like they were under Saddam Hussein. The whole world should be free, just like we are.
This email says, if the terrorists are coming from everywhere but Iraq, why did we go to Iraq to fight terror?
We went to Iraq to initially get rid of Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. But I thought we
and
went...
in the meantime...
Weapons.
People from Afghanistan and from Syria and from Iran and other outlying countries are now seeing this as an opportunity for them to go in and shoot at Americans.
All right. So, but again, apart from...
So will they like us once we clean up this alleged mess? Absolutely.
So all these people like us more. So apart from Iraq, though, again, which is we've talked about a lot, apart from Iraq, what other serious issues, though, do you believe you need to bring balance to?
Just a lot of the political talk about people that are running for the presidency, like such as Hillary Clinton, who says...
How did I know?
You know, Exxon or these big oil companies have
putting that in quotes.
Billions of dollars, and we ought to take those billions of dollars and put them into our little socialistic programs.
What?
See,
no. Yeah, okay.
I don't know what her programs or her agenda is, but she
But you're opposed to it.
There's a
What's
company.
Socialistic programs?
Listen, this is an American company that is very prosperous, and if you want a part of it, you can buy their stock. But she's like, I'm going to take your profits and I'm going to stick them into these little socialist programs, which I don't believe.
What is socialism?
Socialism is having little programs like
healthcare.
Yeah, I believe in healthcare. You're twisting it. So, I believe in healthcare, but I also believe that from a Republican point of view, you can be responsible for buying your own plan at whatever level that you deem necessary. Okay.
Okay.
It's all about capitalism and taking the money that you have and building it up.
Okay.
Right?
Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the air with Scotty J. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. And hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, is it me?
Yeah, only you know for sure, my friend.
Okay, well, I'll make it brief. Scotty, you must know that the country of Iraq borders Iran, which is basically a Shia theocracy, and then Saudi Arabia, which is a Sunni, and then Syria is also Sunni. They don't want us there. There's no way for it to work. Pulling out, it doesn't fix things, but we shouldn't have been there in the first place, and the progressives knew it.
Yeah, Scotty. I don't really know what he was talking about. Rick Emerson Show, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'd ask Scotty if he's in favor of Social Security.
No, I am not.
So what is...
Social Security is a joke, and I'm probably never going to see any of it. And the fact that you get $500 a month to try to survive on in these days and times, and besides another, you know...
I like the idea that it's appalling that someone should be expected to survive on $500. Your answer is that they should not even get that.
That's their own... Rick, you see, I believe in putting
That's
my money...
That's not enough. Let's take it away.
Look... It's the government taking away that money every single paycheck for your entire life until you retire,
yes.
Okay? Imagine if you were smart enough to take your own money and invest it in your own ventures, you would probably have more than Social Security would ever give you, and not to mention the fact that when you retire, you can take it all out in one lump sum rather than $500 a month until you die and you never even see half the money, because most people die before they even get what they put in all those years.
People aren't that smart.
Exactly, and that's their fault.
All you really need is to be clutching a cigar. I sent a 12 share. All right. It's like 12:02. We're way behind. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, a small taste of what happens inside Scotty J's head. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.